Can I say something too, verse 11? But when Peter was come to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, the non-Jews. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Bless it to us, we pray. Speak to us, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're carrying on from last week. Last week, we saw that Paul went to Jerusalem after 14 years from his conversion to find out what the gospel was that the apostles in Jerusalem were preaching. He came quietly, he came privately. He didn't want to think that what he'd been preaching was different from what the apostles were preaching. And when he compared the gospel that they had received from the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that he had received by that vision that he had on the Damascus Road when he met with Jesus, and what the Lord commissioned him to do afterwards, he found that actually there was no difference.
Right.
It was the same gospel. And what is that gospel? It's we are saved by God's grace.
Yes.
Undeserved favour. We don't deserve it.
Amen.
We're saved by God's grace through faith. It's our response of faith. Not works.
No.
Not trying to do better. Not trying to patch our lives up and make a better deal of it. No, it's repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's grace through faith. Not of works. Not of works. Not what we can do. So important. Because today you look at so many churches and they've gone down that rut of works. Good works.
Yeah.
It's by grace through faith. The gospel is repent and believe the good news.
Yeah.
The good news is God's favour is available to you in spite of what you are, in spite of what you've done. Don't try and patch things up. Become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him into your heart and life. Be born again of the Spirit. God gives you a new start. It's by grace through faith. And Paul rejoiced that the gospel was the same gospel. And Peter and James and John, the chiefest among the apostles, shook hands with Paul and gave him the right hands of fellowship. That word translated fellowship is really we have this gospel in common with you. We're sharing the same gospel and we're with you with what you are doing and preaching. You go to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, we'll go to the Jews. But it's the same gospel. Same gospel preached to the Jews.
Right.
Repent and believe. Grace by faith, not of works. And Peter came to Antioch up north sometime later. And Paul was so upset. Because he found that when Peter first came to Antioch, he mucked in together with the Gentiles.
Yes.
The Gentiles who had become Christians, who had been born again of the Spirit. He shared meals with them.
Yes.
But one day something happened. Some brothers came from Jerusalem, or we assume they were brothers, came from Jerusalem. He says they came from James.
Yes.
They were Christians, or they claimed to be Christians, but they began to teach another teaching. They began to say, yes, it's salvation by God's grace through faith, but before you can access that salvation by faith through God's grace, you have got to become Jews. The gospel is for the Jews. You've got to be circumcised first. A bit upsetting. And when these brethren came, or so-called brethren came, from Jerusalem, Peter was a bit in awe of them, and he would no longer eat with the Gentiles. He separated himself from his Gentile brothers and sisters, his non-Jewish brothers and sisters. He would not be seen to be associating with them. And the departure was so strong that even Barnabas, who had been with Paul for so long and had helped Paul at the beginning, even Barnabas was carried away. We'll look at that in a moment. Paul, who had come so quietly and privately to the apostles in Jerusalem, when he saw what Peter was doing,
yes,
he stood against Peter
publicly,
yes, in front of everybody. This was no matter to be hidden and swept under the carpet. It was something to be dealt with and sorted out. And it says that Paul withstood in the Authorised Version. It means he stood against Peter. He opposed him to the face.
Yes.
I can just imagine in my mind's eye Peter shuffling off to have some lunch with his fellow Jews away from the Gentiles, and Paul stands in his way. Where do you think you're going to, sunshine? I'm sure he's more respectful than that.
Yeah.
But he said he stood against him to the face. It was a face-to-face confrontation, and Paul was not going to let him pass until he'd been sorted out.
Right.
He did it publicly. And Paul says, because he was to be blamed. He was in the wrong. Both these men, Paul and Peter, were Christians, were believers. They were both forgiven. They were both cleansed through all their sin. They were both born again with the Spirit. They were both filled with the Spirit. They were men of God. They were both sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
They were apostles sent by the Lord. They were both mightily used of God.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, if you read the book of Acts, Peter at the beginning of Acts, he saw many miracles.
Yes.
Man at the beautiful gate of the temple, for one. Peter was delivered from prison. He was in prison in Jerusalem, and the angel of the Lord came. I like it. I like the story. The angel of the Lord came into the prison and he said he smote him. He struck him. And his chains fell off and he was let out. He was set free. Paul saw many miracles. And Paul was set free from prison when he was in Philippi. The earthquake and the prison broke open.
Yeah.
These men were mighty used of God. That doesn't mean to say that they couldn't make mistakes. As long as we're walking with the Lord in the beach of the Lord, we're fine.
Yeah.
They both believed and preached the same gospel. They'd shaken hands on it. What Paul was sorting out with Peter was not his doctrine. He knew what his doctrine was. He knew what his teaching was. They both agreed. He wasn't walking according to that doctrine.
That's right.
It was his behaviour. It was how he was acting that was wrong. And sometimes we've got to be aware of that. We can have all the right beliefs and tick them all off, but we've got to look at how we're behaving and how we're living. We've got to live according to that word of God. Peter had dissociated himself from the Gentiles when these false brethren came, although they were teaching a false teaching. They had actually taught, says Acts 15 and verse 1, they actually came and they said, unless you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. It's a lie.
Right.
It's a lie. But they'd obviously intimidated Peter. Where did it come from? Why did Peter do this? You see, Peter had himself been taught by God about the gospel and about the Gentiles, about the non-Jews. We could look at Acts 15, but if we go back to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, we find there that in Acts chapter 10, Peter's on a roof in Joppa, middle of the day. He's praying. And while he's praying, an ecstasy falls upon him. That is the literal translation from the Bible. An ecstasy fell upon him. Don't believe the Authorised Version, he fell into a trance. That's a nonsense. He didn't fall into anything. An ecstasy fell upon him. The power of God fell upon him.
Yes.
He didn't fall on the ground. He didn't fall into a trance.
Right.
An ecstasy fell upon him. He was looking up. He could see a vision.
Yes.
And in this vision he saw a sheep descending. And in all sorts of animals. And the Lord says to him three times, said, Peter, arise, kill and eat.
Yes.
And Peter says, no, nothing unclean has ever passed my lips. Won't do it. And God says to him, you mustn't call common what I have cleansed.
That's right.
And there's Peter thinking, well, what's all that about then? When there's a knock on the door, down below. And the door's answered and there's three men there.
Yeah.
One's a Roman soldier and two are servants of Cornelius, a centurion up in Caesarea. He's a godly man, but he's not saved. And an angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Cornelius and says, you send three men now and go to Joppa.
Yeah.
And here's the address. It's Simon the Tanner's house, Joppa. Can you believe that? What a revelation. And they arrive, and they're knocking the door. "We've come for somebody called Peter," they said. The Lord has said to him, "Ask for Peter." And Peter eventually, immediately puts everything together. Three times the Lord said, three fellows at the door. They're Gentiles. They're unclean. "No, they're not," says the Lord.
Yeah.
Mustn't regard them like that. And because he'd had that vision, and when the men said, "You've got to come with us, Cornelius, our master, has sent for you," he's had a vision of an angel from the Lord. He wants to know the way of salvation, basically. And Peter knew immediately that he had to go. Without that vision, he wouldn't have gone. They weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. Peter didn't eat with Gentiles. He didn't go to the houses of Gentiles. They were unclean. But God has said to him, "You mustn't call unclean what I have cleansed." God was teaching him. And he went. And he went to Cornelius' house. He went to his house and said, what do you want? What have you sent me for?" And Cornelius said, "Well, I had this vision, and the angel of the Lord said, send for Peter down in Joppa. Here we are. We're all gathered together to hear what you've got to say. Just what have you got to tell us?" And Peter began to preach the gospel. And as soon as he got to the relevant part of the gospel, he was only in the beginning of his introduction of his message. The Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius and all that were gathered together, and they began to speak in other tongues. And Peter said, "Wow, that's what happened to us at the beginning." But that happened to us when we followed the Lord, and it's always been, we've been baptised and then we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But Peter realised, the Lord was showing him, "I've accepted these Gentiles. I've accepted these non-Jews. I've filled them with my Holy Spirit, because the moment you preached the message of what Jesus had come to do, they believed it, were saved, and they'd been filled with the Spirit." And Peter said, "Well, we can't do anything more than accept these as brethren. Let's baptise them now." We can't refuse to baptise them. Accept them into the church as brothers in the Lord. There they were. That was Peter's introduction. Peter knew all about the Gentiles. He knew that they were brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Had Peter forgotten this? No, he hadn't. The Bible tells us what has happened. It's in the Word of God here. It's in verse 12 of Galatians chapter 2. "Before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision."
Right.
Fearing the Jews, his fellow Jewish people.
Yeah.
It was fear. It was fear.
Worried about the man's being
here. Fear, not necessarily terrified fear, but as you say, he didn't want them to think bad of him. Fearing them. Oh, beware of fear. Beware of fear. Beware of sudden fear, the Bible says. Don't worry about sudden fear. Don't let the enemy catch you unawares. Stick with what you believe. He'd got the right doctrine. He knew the right teaching. But he was driven by fear. It's his behaviour that was wrong. A behaviour which he should know, and probably did know, was not right. He separated himself. This is Peter. This is Peter, whom the Roman Catholic Church says is the rock upon which the church is built.
Yes.
It's a bit of a wobbly rock, if you don't mind my saying so. Peter doesn't even mean rock. It means a stone. The church is not built on Peter. It's part of the foundation work. The Bible talks about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets.
Yes.
But the rock upon which Jesus is building his church is himself, that confession that Peter made.
Amen.
"You are the Christ."
Yes.
"The Son of the living God." The problem was that as soon as Peter went off the rails, so did the others. It says in verse 13, "The other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation."
Yes.
That's what happens when we go into the wrong area of behaviour, when we do wrong things.
Lead others.
And those in leadership, if they go astray, they're leading others astray. That leadership brings responsibility. Even Barnabas, whose name means son of consolation, was led astray. Carried away with their dissimulation. That word dissimulation, it's not a word that I've ever used in English, is it you? It's in the Bible, I've never ever used it. Dissimulation. But I know what the Greek word is. And the Greek word it's translating, don't worry about the Greek word, but it's hypocrisis. Which when you say it in English is hypocrisy. He was carried away by the hypocrisy. Ah, it was play acting. That's what hypocrisy was. Hypocrisy was play acting. It's living behind a mask.
Yes.
The mask shows a false face. It shows a happy face.
Yes.
But besides, you're full of sadness and grief. That's hypocrisy. It's like the play actors that acted in those days behind masks. Just the outward show. It's not what they believed. It's not what they had taught. But it was how they were behaving. A behaviour which saw that others were influenced by it. Peter had had such clear teaching from God at Joppa. How did he go off the rails? He was play acting. It was outward show. When Paul came to Jerusalem to see Peter and James and John earlier on, he stood firm for the salvation that God had revealed to him by grace through faith, not of works, not by the law.
Right.
But those had come who were saying, no, you've got to do other things. You've got to be circumcised. First, you've got to become a Jew first, and then you can be saved. No, it was misleading. And Peter, by his conduct, was denying now what he knew to be true. Through fear, he denied. Do you remember Peter before, when Jesus was on trial? Peter, through fear, denied that he even knew Jesus. And now, in his behaviour, he was denying the message of the gospel that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, had given him to proclaim. Salvation by grace through faith, not of works. Even Barnabas, coming to it again and again, even Barnabas was led astray by their play acting. But Paul, praise the Lord, Paul made a stand.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to make a stand. Paul stood against him, face to face. He rebuked him before everybody, publicly. No quiet word on the side. There'd been a public rejection and humiliation of the Gentiles.
Yes.
The Gentile brothers and sisters in the Lord. They'd been treated as though they were nothing. Peter had to be rebuked publicly. He had to be put right publicly. What was at stake? What was at stake was the foundation of the Christian faith and doctrine.
Yes.
By grace through faith. You know, we're plagued all around with the ways in which Christian doctrine and the Christian faith has been misrepresented.
Yeah.
It's become, for many people, a system of good works. A system of religious procedures. But we come back to the Bible, and it's by grace, through faith, not of works. Be careful. Be careful of church systems devised by men. They'll lead you astray. They'll lead you away from salvation by grace through faith. They'll bring in works. As soon as you bring in works, you've got to do good things, you've got to live to a certain standard. We should be living to a certain standard, not because we're trying to keep rules, but because we're born again of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that when we have that new life, all the old things pass away. All things have become new.
Crucified.
We're crucified with Christ. Paul was making a case for the truth of the gospel. A truth which to many today, even those who call themselves Christians, a truth which has been lost. It's by grace through faith. I keep on saying it because it's so important. By grace through faith, not of works. And in verse 5 of this chapter, which we read last week, when Paul came to them at Jerusalem, he was talking about those who had come in who were teaching this Judaizing doctrine. He said, I didn't give place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Yes.
I stood firm. And then in verse 14, he says, but when I saw that they, Peter and co, walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. It's what he's fighting for, the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all. A bit humbling for Peter, this. In front of all these people, the Christians, the Judaizers, those who are trying to bring in Jewish practices, Paul says to Peter, I said to Peter before them all, in front of everybody, if you, being a Jew, have been living after the manner of the Gentiles, you went into Cornelius' household.
Yeah.
You ate and drank with them. You've been living with these Gentile Christians till these people came. You've been eating and drinking with them. If you live, a Jew, and you live after the manner of the Gentiles, why are you now saying that these Gentile Christians have now got to live like the Jews?
That's right.
Hypocrite! It's embarrassing for old Peter. It's an embarrassment he needed. He said, when I saw that they were not walking uprightly. That phrase, walking uprightly, is a translation of something which really means they were not walking in a straight pathway.
Yes.
They were not walking in a straight pathway. What were they doing? They were deviating. They were wandering off the pathway. They were wandering away from the truth.
Yeah.
We've got to keep on that straight pathway. Narrow is the gate. Yes. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. It's a different sort of straight. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. We've got to keep on that pathway and not wander off it. No deviation, no wandering from the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is what Paul was expounding to the Galatians and everywhere else. The truth of the gospel. The good news for sinners everywhere.
Yes.
Good news for you. Good news for me.
Thank
it has been. It continues to be.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Why is it good news? Because it's not by my efforts. It's not by my works. Wouldn't you fail time and time again? If it was up to you? Trying to live a good life? Trying to live up to God's standard? No. The truth of the gospel is good news for sinners. Those who are guilty. Hellbound. Facing the judgment of God.
Yes.
There's good news. What is it? That there's pardon and cleansing. New life. Available. By his grace. How is it available? It's available because Jesus paid the price.
Amen.
For your salvation and my salvation on the cross of Calvary. He took the punishment for all your sin and my sin, that we might be forgiven and cleansed. That the record that was written against us of all the things that we have done, as it says in Colossians, should be blotted out.
Yes.
He nailed it to his cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the blood was shed that we might be cleansed from all our sin. It's salvation by grace through faith. God's love for us. His unmerited favour, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus died in our place. And the Bible says, not for our sins only, but in the first epistle of John chapter 2, but for the sin of the whole world.
Amen.
It's available for anyone who will repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus.
That's right.
We preach a gospel of hope for everybody. I don't think nobody's excluded.
That's right. Amen.
John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It's available for all who will repent and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. We're justified. We're made right before God by his grace alone, through faith alone. You know, Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, talked about leaders who go off the pathway, that do wrong things, behave wrongly. And he said this, then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
That's right.
That's what Paul was doing here. That's what Paul was doing here. Paul's saying, we're Jews by nature, not Gentile sinners. Yet that Judaism, for us who are Jews by nature, that Judaism did not bring us salvation.
That's right.
We went through all the ritual, all the sacrifices, doing it day by day, week by week, year by year, festival by festival. None of it could effect our salvation. Or was it not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain?
Yeah.
Could ever wash away our sin or take away the stain.
That's right.
It couldn't save them. Paul said, we're Jews by nature, we're not Gentile sinners, but we need the salvation of God by grace through faith, just as these Gentiles do.
That's right.
Didn't save us. The message is to everybody, both Jew and Gentile, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting and receiving his sacrifice, the cleansing of his blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Even we Jews have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We needed that salvation as much as they did. Not by works of law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The one way of salvation is for all. There is no difference. Paul put Peter back on the right pathway.
That's right.
And in Acts chapter 15, after this happened, there was a council in Jerusalem where they sent to the apostles in Jerusalem, what about these Gentiles? Have they got to keep the Jewish laws? Have they got to be circumcised? And who stood up? Who stood up and made a speech of what should be done? Peter. Peter. Oh, Paul had put him on the right track again. Peter saying, you know, these Gentiles, we can't impose upon them what even we ourselves couldn't really bear.
Sure.
Acts chapter 15, this is what he says. Acts 15. Verse 5 says, there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Hallelujah. He was back on track again. He was back in that place where he should be. And Paul was speaking those words. If Paul hadn't spoken those words to him, what would have happened then? Oh, but the Lord knows all things. He prepared the way. And today we can rejoice in a wonderful salvation. Same for Jew or Gentile. Repent. Believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. Accept him as Saviour and Lord. Be born again of his Spirit. Be filled with his Spirit. It's available to all. Come in repentance and faith. Amen.